Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. If you do not have a Bible, please raise your hand and one of our ushers will bring you one. Luke chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. After this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him, and also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Mary, called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had come out, Joanna, the wife of Cusa, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Brian. And it's my privilege to introduce someone who should be familiar to us, at least by face, but someone I've known now for 5.5 years. I started at this community of faith 5.5 years ago and was introduced to Pastor Peter Ng, as we affectionately call him, or Peter Eng. And he is a great servant of God, a good team member to work with, and a joy to know. So without further ado, let's welcome Pastor Eng, our Cantonese pastor here at 666.
It is my pleasure once again to share the word of God. And as Pastor Ian, Pastor Jeff, and I, we stood on the same stage, it brings back many years. We serve together in the pastoral staff. Not only every week we had meeting, but also had lunch, and we planned and then serve alongside at many joint services. I count it a privilege to work with some very great people, talented, gifted, and committed servants of God. And of course, I'm very happy to worship with Cornerstone. Most of the time, I worship upstairs with the Cantonese congregation. Normally, at this time, I would be at Matilda with the Cantonese Sunday School. But we are one church with 3 congregations. Although we speak different languages and dialects, but we are united in Christ. I know some of the Cornerstoners, those who are here for longer than maybe a year or two. But there are many new faces keep showing up, and I praise God for the new people coming to Cornerstone. This is a growing ministry. Wonderful. And now let us look into the Word of God. Today I chose the title, Step Out of Church. You can start with, not now, but now you need to listen. There was a comedian, a German Munich comedian, famous clown and a film producer by the name of Karl Valentin, without the E. He was named the Charlie Chaplin of Germany. Every time in the beginning of his show, he would like to perform a short skit. Once he stepped into the stage, and the stage was all dark, and then there was a circle of spotlight. Valentin was standing in the circle of spotlight. The street was all dark, and there was a lamp, and the lamp was shining on this circle. And Valentin was very anxious. He was searching for something. He looked all around to the point that he was sweating heavily. You can see from his facial expression that he was so worried and concerned. After a while, a policeman walked by and talked to him, "Sir, what are you doing here?" And Valentin answered, "Well, I have lost something very important. I'm looking for it." Policeman asked him, "What did you lose?" And he answered, "I lost my house key. And since I lost my house key, I cannot get into my home. And if I cannot get into my house, I would have no place to stay tonight. Then I may have to sleep on the street. So I have to look for my lost key." And the policeman saw that this man was so pitiful and helped him to look for that lost key. And after searching everywhere within that circle of light for about 30 minutes, the policeman also was exhausted and asked him again, "Mister, are you sure that you lost your key here? Do you remember? Where did you lose your key?" And then Valentin scratched his head. "Oh, I remember clearly that I lost my key over there at that dark corner. I have lost my key over there. Now I remember." And please ask him, "If you have lost your key over there at the dark corner, why are you searching in this circle of light?" And Valentin answered, "Of course, because there is light here, but there is no light over there. So I come here to search." This may be a joke, but you may think it is stupid to look for something in the light when we know we have lost something in the dark. In reality, we Christians often do the same thing. We look for people, lost people, in the light, in the church, even though we know that they are lost in the dark, in the world. Our problem is that we look for lost sheep within the walls of our church, and we seldom step out of church. Today, we take a look at the Bible and see what is Jesus' method of evangelism. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 1, first we see that he stepped out. The Bible says, after this, Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Before this chapter, Jesus did most of his preaching in the synagogues. Today we would call churches. When he started his ministry in Luke chapter 4, he taught in synagogues and actually in his own hometown, Nazareth. And then to different towns, different synagogues in Galilee. But starting with chapter 8, Jesus began teaching outside of the synagogue. He traveled from one town and village to another. And this is a significant change. What is synagogue? Synagogue is a place where the Jews gather together to worship. However, in the beginning, they worshipped in temple in Jerusalem, not synagogue. Back to the times of Moses, Moses wrote the law. And in the book of Moses, they have regulations that every male over 12 years of age, need to worship in the temple in Jerusalem at least three times a year, especially in the major holidays, like the Feast of the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and Feast of the Tabernacles. Later, the nation was defeated and captured. First, the northern kingdom was defeated by the Assyrians in about 722 BC. And then 140 years later, even the southern kingdom, Judah, was also defeated in 586 BC by the Babylonians. The Babylonians attacked the capital city, Jerusalem, destroyed the temple. Moreover, they took the Jews away from their homeland, Israel and Judah, to a foreign place. So many Israelites were living away from their hometown, not in Jerusalem, without a temple. How could they worship? And the Jews were tied to the temple. Imagine for CCCS and Cornerstone, if our worship and our faith, our religion, is all tied up to this place, 758 Hamilton Street, and God forbid if, say, another hurricane like Sandy came and knocked down our buildings, and then we could not come to this place again. Can we still worship God? The Jews at that time, they were very clever, very flexible. So they look into the law of Moses and find there are many aspects of worship, not just the sacrifice in the temple, but also they look into the Torah, the law. And they could also worship by studying, reading, obeying the law. So the exiled Jews, even though they lived in a foreign land, they designed a form of worship that was not dependent on the temple and Jerusalem or the sacrificial system. So they formed synagogue. The word synagogue simply means a gathering. And they had a rule. A rule is that in any place when there are at least 10 male Jewish men, they could form a synagogue and had worship. Not women, even though 100 or 1,000 women, that could not be a legitimate synagogue worship. So this tradition started in foreign land, but then it continued, even though when the Jews returned to Judah for hundreds of years, even when the time of Jesus. During the time of Jesus, of course, they have the temple in Jerusalem, and Jesus was dedicated on his eighth day in Jerusalem. But the synagogue worship continues in different parts of the world, and including Palestine. And even today, thousands of years later, we still see many synagogues not too far away from us, Highland Park, New Jersey. There are synagogues. And of course, in Brooklyn, Borough Park, many Jewish people, of course, there are many synagogues. And even in cities like Hong Kong, they have synagogues. Because as long as there are 10 Jewish men gathered together, they could worship in synagogue. So every Friday evening at about 6 o'clock, Jews all over the world, wherever they are, they could gather together to worship in synagogue. Men, women, young and old. course, most of the men would wear a small little hat, and they worship God by reading the Old Testament, not like us in English. They read in the original language in Hebrew. Whether they understand it or not, they read the scripture in Hebrew. So later on, the Jews returned to their homeland, Palestine, and the temple was rebuilt. But the Jews continued to worship in synagogue. So when Jesus began his ministry, where should he preach? Obviously, he started to preach in synagogues. And it is a place where a lot of Jewish people would gather together. In the synagogue worship, they have, in the order of worship, maybe a little bit different from Cornerstone. Well, here we all have assigned people who will speak, who will give a testimony, who will read scriptures. In the synagogue worship, they have an open spot, sometimes like funeral services. Like, anyone in the midst, if you have a word from the Lord, you can come up and share that word. And that is why in Luke chapter 4, we read that Jesus, when he entered the synagogue in his hometown Nazareth, he was given an opportunity to read from Isaiah, and he read from a passage about the Messiah who came to heal the brokenhearted and set the captive free and make the blind to see again. And then when he closed that scripture, a scroll, well, he sat down, not because he's finished, but he sat down to teach as a teacher. And then he proclaimed, "Today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." What it meant was, "I am the Messiah." The audience were shocked. He began preaching in the synagogue, but soon he was rejected by his own people. And that's why we come to Luke chapter 8, verse 1, Jesus stepped out of the synagogue, and he began to preach from village to village, from town to town. Itinerary preaching, maybe called short-term mission. Why would Jesus step out of synagogue and preach to towns and villages? Several reasons. One reason, the people in the synagogue had rejected him. And in Luke chapter 4, the people of his own hometown even drove him out of town and tried to throw him down the cliff, but he escaped. Second reason, the preaching time in synagogue, just like today's churches, is limited. I don't know how long. Say, for example, if Jesus could preach 1 or 2 hours in a synagogue per week, still too short for us now. Many churches, including Cornerstone, 30 to 40 minutes is long enough. People feel I'm well fed spiritually, but I'm hungry and want to have lunch. However, today's people spend hours and hours on iPhones and look at their Facebook and never think that they are fulfilled. Christians We need to influence the society. Sometimes I think we need more Christian movies, like the recent movie Son of God. I don't know whether you have seen it or not. To influence our society, we need more time. So Jesus, besides the synagogue, he need to step out. Another reason Jesus stepped out of synagogue, because he had gathered a group of followers already, committed believers. And he discipled them. And pretty much like what Pastor Ian shared, some of the faith leaders need to be trained and then lead them to do short-term missions so that they can grow in their faith and ministry. So Jesus was training a group of committed disciples, especially the 12. We call them apostles. And Jesus took them along and preached and allowed them to serve alongside from town to town, from village to village. The gospel must go beyond synagogue and churches. There was a famous sergeant general in the era of Ronald Reagan, Dr. C. Everett Koop, sergeant general in the 1980s. During his time, the AIDS epidemic broke out. That was the biggest health problem of our country and the world. And he buried himself in this issue. And he made a very profound statement. He said, there is a very simple method to stop the AIDS epidemic, which is to confine all the AIDS patients and people infected with HIV virus in an isolated island. Do not allow them to mingle with people or interact with anyone else. Then, after one generation, they would die off and AIDS would be solved. But of course, we don't want to do that. This is the way China is dealing with leprosy. All the lepers were confined in isolated villages, no contact with other people, so the disease will not stop. That also was the way that in the ancient time, the lepers in Israel, they will also have to warn people that leprosy, unclean, don't get close to me. Similarly, what will stop the spread of Christianity? Well, we can put all the Christians confined in the walls of church and do not allow them to interact with anyone outside. Then after one generation, Christianity probably will become history. This is a very effective way to weaken Christianity. Well, this is not forced by others. Sometimes we choose this way of life on our own. It is a natural phenomenon. Christians like to go to vacation together, spring break coming up, and we like to go to restaurants together, we like to go shopping together. We enjoy fellowship, a cup of coffee, donut, cake, in church in a warm and safe environment. And because we know that we are people who have no evil agenda against each other, we like to stay in this comfort zone. Nothing wrong with it. However, but with all Christians stay in one place and never reach out, and Christianity could, after one generation, become extinct. However, when we look at Jesus' strategy of evangelism, in Luke chapter 8, Jesus starts taking the disciples with him. And then if we look further, starting with chapter 9, instead of going with them, Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. And then following in chapter 10, he sent out 70 disciples. So this is his strategy. First, he went alone. Then he took some people along with him, namely the 12. And then he sent out the 12 and sent out the 70. The number grow bigger and bigger. There should be our strategy also. Cornerstone has a very capable pastor, Pastor Jeff. He does a lot of things. Set up tables and chairs for meetings, type minutes, preach, and then prepare communions. Well, one person can do a lot, but how much? He cannot reach out to all the people. He needs teammates. He needs disciples. So you and I need to step out like Jesus and his 12 disciples. From town to town, from village to village. Our town and village may not be Nazareth or Capernaum. Probably the name would change to like Edison High School or Rutgers University or Johnson and Johnson or Hong Kong Supermarket. When Jesus stepped out of synagogues, what message did he preach? His message was very relevant. In chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Jesus proclaimed the good news of the kingdom of God. The phrase, the kingdom of God, was important and relevant to the Jewish nation. The nation had been defeated by foreign powers, and they have lost their kingdom. We just talked about the United Kingdom. So, for the Jews, their glorious kingdom was the dynasty of David and Solomon. They desired to restore the kingdom of David and Solomon. So they had been waiting for hundreds of years for a king, for a Messiah to appear, who would overthrow the foreign powers. Probably the Roman government at that time. So they eagerly want the Jewish kingdom to be restored, the Messianic kingdom. That's why Jesus preached a relevant message that they can identify with, the kingdom of God. If we preach a gospel that does not even scratch the itch of the people, then people do not bother to listen. But on the other hand, if we preach a gospel that are so diluted, no different from Hollywood, then we may compromise the gospel. We may twist the truth. On the one hand, we want to reach out to a large audience, but on the other hand, we cannot compromise the truth. A famous German theologian called Moltmann, he once said that churches are facing a struggle today called identity and relevance dilemma. Some churches are trying to keep their identity pure so that they do not interact with others, but shrink. The churches shrink quickly. But on the other hand, some churches want to be relevant to the world, and they compromise their principles. Thus, they lost their identity. They are not much different from the world. Each church must face this dilemma, and we need to permeate the society, but do not allow ourselves to change and become like the world. After stepping out of synagogue and church, the next thing that we need to do from Luke chapter 8 is that we need to teamwork with others. We must work as a team. Look at Jesus' team. There are several things that are significant about them. First, they are ordinary people doing extraordinary things when Jesus empowers them. Verse 1 says the 12 went with them. Who are the 12? Peter, Andrew, James, John. Regular people, fishermen. They were able to preach, to heal, to cast out demons because Jesus had empowered them. Second, we see that in this team, opposite people can trust each other when they are committed to Christ. Opposite people like Matthew, the tax collector, he was considered by the Jews as a traitor. The Jews hated him because he collected their money and he worked for the Roman government. Opposite of Matthew is like Simon the Zealot. There's a group of political people called the Zealots. They try to deliver Israel from foreign power. They use any kind of method, including terrorism or assassination, to accomplish the purpose. Imagine both of them, if they were in a short-term mission sleeping next to each other, one might worry, the other might stab him with a knife at night. However, because they were committed to Jesus Christ, they don't need to worry. They can trust each other and work as a team. Third, healed people. Heal people. Starting with verse 2, the team also consists of women. Some women who have been cured of evil spirits and diseases. This is their common denominator. They were hurt people. Now they are healed people. And now they can heal people. Jesus had cast out demons and healed them of some unknown diseases. Doctors and nurses could not heal them, but Jesus healed them. And out of these women, there were several names that are the Bible recorded. Mary Magdalene, who had seven demons before, and Jesus cast them out. It's amazing. Seven is the number of perfection. That means that this woman was completely possessed by demons. Today, maybe we don't talk about demon possession as much, but people today are completely possessed by things like illegal drugs, alcohol, AIDS, immoral sex, greed, materialism, lust for power. Jesus said, everyone who sins is a slave of sin. However, he has the power to free us. He went on to say, if the Son sets you free, then you are free indeed. Mary Magdalene had been set free. And now she was healed and she can heal others. Another woman is called Joanna. She was the wife of a high official, Cusa, the official of King Herod. She too suffered from some kind of disease or evil spirit and was healed by Jesus. And she became a follower of Christ. And the third woman, we don't know much about her except her name, called Susanna. So, whether you are a man of high class or a woman of low class or just a person with a name, you can join Jesus' team, this dream team, and do short-term mission and serve in the kingdom of God. Also, note these women, these several women who serve Christ. In verse 3, there's an important word called helping. The word helping comes from a Greek word that also means deacon or serve. These women, they may not be preachers, but they could share their testimonies that how Jesus healed them. You may not be a preacher, you may not serve as a deacon, but you can serve as ushers. You can serve in kitchen. You can, like these women, give your resources, your money, your time, your talent, your treasure for the cause of Christ. You can join Jesus' team. You can support Jesus' ministry. In conclusion, while we enjoy mingling with other believers in church, but we cannot grow if we stay only in church all the time. We need to step out of church, share the gospel. We need to team up with people who may be very different from you. Maybe you were hurt before, but knowing that Jesus has healed you now, you can share your testimony and you can heal other people who may still be hurt. Maybe you think you are very ordinary. However, when Jesus empowers you, you can do extraordinary things. Shall we pray? Lord, thank you that you are able to do much more than we can ever think or imagine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.